Our text for today is recorded in Matthew chapter 21, beginning reading at the sixth verse, and I'm going to read this in the NIV. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. "Who is this?" the crowd answered. "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So far, the words of our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, the pastor from this pulpit was preaching and he used an expression. And that expression was that the devil's in the details. I don't know if you heard it. I think I heard it here. Anyway, what is meant by that expression, the devil is in the details? It really means that in your plans or in your projects, if you don't pay attention carefully to even the smallest detail, it could have detrimental consequences down the line for you someplace. For example, college student, you get your first credit card and you don't read the fine print. And a few months later, you're looking at the bill and saying, "What is this?" And you realize that you're paying an 18% interest charge on that money. The devil's in the details. Or if you're in a chemistry class and you have been instructed to put in exactly that amount of this particular chemical and you don't really pay much attention, you put in that amount of that chemical, there could be a disaster awaiting you. Well, today I want to reverse this saying. Instead of the devil's in the details, let's look at it a different way. Maybe God is in the details. And that certainly is the case before us today in our text. And so we want to look at three details very carefully. First of all, we want to look at the day, and then the detail of the donkey, and then finally the shouts that were coming from the children and the crowd. As I read the text to you this morning, and I hope it sounded familiar to you, if it did, that means you probably went to church on Sunday, for it was Palm Sunday, and that is the text which we always hear on Palm Sunday, that grand procession as Jesus entered into Jerusalem with the waving palm branches and the shouts of the people. Actually, for 6 months, Jesus had been biding his time, waiting for the exact day that he would ride into Jerusalem, and he selected this exact day. So what was so special about this day? Well, in the Jewish calendar, it was Nisan 10th. In other words, the 10th day of the Jewish month of Nisan. So what does that mean? Well, we can go to the book of Exodus, and it says, "Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family." The Jews were obligated on this day to select the lamb that later that week would be slaughtered in the Passover celebration. Now, you remember that original Passover. The children of Israel, the Hebrews, were in bondage under the Egyptian Pharaoh. And God said, "Take the blood of a lamb, and you paint the blood of the lamb on the doorframe of your house. And when the angel of death sees that, it will pass over and not visit death upon you." And ever since, the Jews would celebrate that Passover celebration. And this was the exact day they were to select the lamb to be slaughtered. And it's that day that Jesus offered himself as the lamb of sacrifice for the people. And he rode into Jerusalem. "Behold, the Lamb of God." God's in the details. Another detail we probably should look at, besides this of the day, is that of the donkey. Very clearly, our text states that Jesus rode on a young donkey, not on a horse, not on a mule, not in a chariot, not on a cart. He didn't walk. He wasn't carried on the shoulders of the followers. He rode on a donkey. 500 years earlier, there was this prophecy. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Conquering kings would enter into a city riding on a white charger in a lavish procession. And as they would enter into the city, the crowds would cheer and the enemies would cower. And Jesus now, in humble procession, is riding into the city. You know, the enemies should have been cowering. They should have been absolutely petrified. For he was enacting that grand victory over the consequences of sin and over death and in the devil that would culminate in his word from the cross, it is finished. Right on in majesty and lowly pomp, right on to die. O Christ, your triumphs now begin o'er captive death and conquered sin. Through his suffering in our place and by receiving the punishment that we deserve, he incorporates us into his kingdom. He's our king. We are his citizens. The enemy has been defeated. Behold, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in humble circumstance, saving us from the enemy. And then the final detail we want to look at this morning is the shout of the crowd and the children. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And you know, it's not a coincidence that they were singing that very word, Hosanna, because it's part of the 118th Psalm. And they always sang the 118th Psalm at Passover time. They had been rehearsing that. Jesus and his disciples undoubtedly sang that same psalm that Monday, Thursday. Hosanna, Hosanna, but what does Hosanna mean? I remember Professor Hunzi in seminary. Oh, he would love to talk about that word. He would say, it means, oh, do save us now, we pray. It's exactly what it means. It's a prayer to the Messiah that he needs to do for us what we can't do for ourselves, and that is to save us. It is imploring God to send the Messiah to be our Savior, to take away our sins, to grant us eternal life, salvation. And unwittingly, they were singing the right words. Oh, do save us now, we pray you. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. God's in the details. Hosanna, God. You know, we don't have to pray, oh, do save us now, Lord. Our God has saved us. Jesus Christ did make that ride into Jerusalem. He did shed his blood that the angel of eternal death could pass over us. He did offer himself as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He is our Savior. We pray, Lord, keep us ever mindful of what you did on our behalf. Keep us ever grateful for the salvation you won for us. Amen.